Paranormal Perception is brought to you by the new book by Sabrina Marie, Two Realm Paranormal, Torn Between Realms. It's available right now on BarnesandNobles.com. Just enter the number 2, Realm Paranormal, in the search bar. Paranormal Perception is a full-bodied apparition summoned by 22 Creations Multimedia, LLC. You've found it. Your guide through the unknown. This is your guide through the new normal for the new decade. Paranormal Perception. Parapsychology.
Restless souls.
Cryptozoology. Disclosure. Ghosts. Artificial intelligence.
Unheard whispers.
Close your eyes. Open your ears and your mind. It is called the unknown for a reason.
By the end of this episode, you'll have a new perception on the paranormal.
A paranormal perception with Henry San Miguel. Welcome to Paranormal Perception. Yeah, you're going to have a new perception on the paranormal by the time we're done. We're going to start with an announcement, though. I'm going to start with an announcement that I actually made, I think it was a week ago or a couple weeks ago. In case you missed it, Orange County Paracon is now a virtual Paracon. Like, most things are either canceling or turning virtual because of the rise in COVID cases. Well, we decided the same thing. A lot of the speakers, they said, you know what? I don't feel quite safe coming out yet. Some attendees, not most of them, a lot of you said, you're not too sure about going out to Orange County because of the rising cases again. I said, so we decided behind the scenes, you know what, let's just keep it safe and not cancel it, but turn it virtual. We didn't want to, but better than not doing it. So it is virtual now. I guess we can call it VOC Paracon, Virtual Orange County Paracon, but it still happened on October 1st. OCParacon.com, that's where you're going to find everything. All the virtual panels will be there. All the exhibitor, quote-unquote, area, the virtual area, that's going to be there. And because of that, I'm not limited anymore. If you remember about a month ago or more than that, it was on the website. I also mentioned it here on one of the episodes. Our exhibitor list, we were sold out. We had no more tables. It was completely sold out. Well, now that it's a virtual room, quote-unquote, there is really no limit. It's just links. So those of you not just here in California, in Southern California, in Orange County, now it's open to everyone from, well, really around the world. We're on the internet, so it means it global. It doesn't have to be just in this country. But you're welcome too. So even if you're not in California, you don't have to worry about travel. You don't have to worry about packing and bringing tables or setting it up, tearing down. None of that. All you've got to do, contact me. Send me an email, paranormalperception2@gmx.com, or just go to the website, ocparacon.com. Let me know. I would love to be a spooky vendor in the exhibitor area, and we'll be glad to put you on there. So it's links. And by the way, it doesn't cost anything other than send me a link, whatever link you want it to be, to your shop, to your, you know, whatever it is that's spooky. It's got to be relevant to Paranormal Perception, and you'll be a part of one of the vendors, the exhibitors, during OC Paracon or VOC, Virtual OC Paracon, on October 1st. And the other thing I was going to say, it's free, and it'll be up the entire month of October. We're kicking off our favorite time of the year. Everyone's going to be thinking, I mean, you're listening to the Paranormal Perception, not that you don't already, but everybody's going to be thinking Halloween, something spooky, getting into the scary season. So if your shop does that, you're going to be up the entire month of October. And it costs you nothing other than an email and send me a link. So ocparacon.com, all the info on there. Just click on the exhibitor, the vendor section, and you'll get all the details on there. That's happening. Another thing here on the show, I got a few this week, and you'll hear them in a little bit when our guests come on. It's called the SpeakPipe app. It's an application that's on the website, and it allows you to basically leave a message. It could be for me, it could be for the guest. In fact, we got a couple questions, like I said, that were recorded this week for the guest. I'd forgotten about it because a lot of you haven't used it, but you did this week. And there's questions on there for the guests that you're going to hear in just a minute. So the way it works on our homepage, paranormalperception.show, if you're not there, there's a little scroll down right below where you can listen to the actual podcast. There's a little button that says start recording. When you click it, guess what happens? You can start recording. Now, just hit it, and whatever you use, whether it's a microphone, a headset, your computer's laptop, whatever it is you're using, you can even use a phone. You can call it, using your phone like a voicemail. Just that, it's a 90-second question. So don't go into your life history and don't start reading an entire article. Just send your question. You can identify yourself or not. It's up to you. And you'll hear that answered by the guest in an upcoming episode. So paranormalperception.show. Scroll down a little bit towards the bottom. Just click on the record now button and record now. Well, not now, but when you push the button. And again, if it's relevant to the, or it could be for our guest, or it could be for me, something about the show or a question for me, I'll play them back and I'll answer it on the air in a future episode. So that's how you use that thing. Pretty simple to use. And most of you have figured it out. Obviously, we're going to hear it in a minute, questions, but for everybody else that wasn't aware that it's there or didn't know how to use it, that's how. It's right there, and that's how you use it. Pretty simple. So, on to the guests. Like I said, you just heard about them, actually. It's our new sponsor, Two Realm Paranormal. They've been here before. Their new book just came out. So, I figured, they're going to sponsor Paranormal Perception. They're kind enough to do that. They've been here before. Yes, they're friends. So, let me have them on to talk about the book, why they wrote it, who was it for? The usual questions that we want to talk to, that I would ask an author anyway. Well, an author, a paranormal author. Well, the same questions I would ask them, plus a few more. There's a few other things that I do want to bring up to them, and we'll do that after you hear some more about virtual OC Paracon. Orange County's first ever paranormal conference has now become virtual Orange County Paracon. Because of the rising COVID cases in the Orange County area, Paranormal Perception has decided to make OC Paracon a virtual event. Now, everyone can attend, without leaving the comfort of your home or car or wherever you'll be watching the virtual panels from. Starting October 1st, go to ocparacon.com to view all the virtual panels from previously announced OC Paracon guests and a few new surprises. Browse through the virtual exhibitors hall filled with spooky vendors.
Going live on October 1st.
OC Paracon kicks off our favorite time of the year, starting Friday, October 1st on ocparacon.com.
OC Paracon will be an in-person event in October 2022.
Back to Paranormal Perception.
This magic moment, so different and so new, was like any other until I kiss you, and then it happened.
And we're back on Paranormal Perception. Let's get to the guests. Like I said, Two Realm Paranormal are a mother-daughter investigative team with over 30 years of experience between the two of them. They're gifted, compassionate, curious. They also have a new book out now, Two Realm Paranormal. I just told you about it at the start of the show. It's called Two Realm Paranormal, Torn Between Realms. It's available on barnesandnoble.com. It's written by Sabrina Marie with special acknowledgement to Teresa Muncy. So here they are to talk about it. We won't give you the whole thing away. We want you to go get it. Sabrina, Teresa, welcome to the show. How you doing?
Great. How are you?
Hi, Henry. Doing fantastic. Thanks for coming on. So let me start with this question. I was actually thinking I'm not finished with it yet. I'm almost there, but I was actually thinking about this morning. Now, so I'm gonna start with that question. So after, like I said, 30 years. After all this time investigating, what made you, Sabrina, finally say, you know what? Let me put all of this in a book. What made you want to do that? Write the book.
Oh wow, that's a good question. A lot of people came to me and asked me a ton of questions, and they were telling me that other teams weren't answering, they weren't helping, they weren't finding the information they wanted in other books. And I thought, well, why not write my experiences down? since I was answering, I was writing a book pretty much on social media anyway with answering questions. So I decided to put it in book form, and I was looking through our evidence, and you know, there's a lot that we couldn't, you know, put out there on the internet at that time. And let's add that in there. And then I got more questions, and what are your theories? And the book kind of built itself just from starting out with my grandmothers and the gifts that they handed down. And then all of our fans, all of our people and our supporters coming in and asking questions. So that's the simple answer.
Well yeah, I mean, that kind of answers the next one I was going to ask. I mean, I think the answer obviously is for everyone, whoever wants it, but who did you have in mind specifically when you wrote the book? Who was it for?
Paranormal enthusiasts, investigators, ghost hunters. I wanted them to learn a little more because it seems like it's more entertainment for a ghost hunter. I wanted to learn a little more about the serious side, that it's not just fun to go out there and get evidence. And that was pretty much the people that I started out writing it for. And then it became a validation issue for all the people that were being called crazy and saying, well, nobody believes my experiences. So then I started writing it for them.
And here you can go into any, whether it's the writing, although it kind of sounds like it was a little bit of fun for you. It could be the writing. It could be the publishing, trying to get it published, whatever it was to you. What was the hardest part about writing this book?
Publishing part. Trying to figure out a publisher that would actually take something like that. And then the process of going through the publishers. And then finally, I just decided, you know, let's just self-publish it. I know it's going to go. I know that people, at least that like me, are going to buy it. I hope everybody else likes it too and buys it. But it was the publishing part that was actually the hardest. The writing it was easy.
But honestly,
just from my heart.
Well, honestly, that surprises me, because you would think today, if this was maybe 10, 20, 30 years ago, for sure. Okay, maybe, yeah, it might be a little impossible, because I don't know if we want to cover that topic. But today, it's a little surprising that still there are some publishers that are hesitant to publish anything supernatural or paranormal, because, I mean, hello, Paranormal Perception is a living example. Look at all the TV shows that we have. A little bit more accepted than it used to be before. It's a little surprising to hear you say that not a lot of them were ready to publish a paranormal book.
Well, and then you have the ones that do publish it, everybody's sending to them. So just getting through those thousands and thousands of manuscripts, you may never be seen.
Yeah, that's true. So it's out there. It's again, I have a link on the show description for you guys to get it. It's on Barnes & Noble's .com. If you want to go there directly in the search bar, just put in two realm paranormal. It'll pop up and you guys can get it delivered to your door. Now, Teresa, this was for you. While she was writing it, did you have any kind of input other than watching the writer, but did you have any input on what you wrote in the book?
I actually let her have her own creative mind take over, because she's the writer. I think where my part comes in is when she would ask me to explain certain situations that I went through in more detail, and I was a little hesitant about it, but, you know, I did. I told her what, you know, the stories that she wanted to know, and she had certain things she would kind of, come on, you have to tell me more, Mom. Tell me all your experiences, you know, detail. And I was less apt to detail it for her, and being a writer, I guess she needed that. So she kept trying to get it out of me, and I guess that was my biggest input. And then we kind of had a disagreement about the cover of it. So we went through a little disagreement with that for a while, but she got her way. And actually, I'm glad she did, because she was right. I like the cover. And so I, you know, she would ask me questions every now and then about, you know, what I thought, should I put this here or should I put that there? And yeah, she's the writer, and I wanted her to do it her way. And the book is her way. It's different. It's unique. It's like there not being page numbers in it, that was her idea, and I understand why she did it, and it makes perfectly good sense to me. But other people, yeah, not everybody quite gets it, but, you know, that's okay. It's her book. It's different. I've read a lot of paranormal books, and I wanted her to write a, I guess, unique book, so she did.
Well, I mean, it sounds like this, because I've talked to writers all over the, with this show and also with the other show that I do, many of them say how, oh, it was so hard to write it, and I had to close off my family. For Sabrina, for both of you, it sounds like it actually brought you closer together. Because Sabrina, is this the first time these stories that Teresa's talking about, is this the first time that you actually heard the stories in detail?
In detail, yeah. There were some of them she would mention, like some of the stuff about my grandparents, and those were just kind of funny. But this is the first time she went through some real detail with her experiences. And it was hard to pull it out of her. It was like pulling teeth at points.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's weird that I'm going to ask this. It's your mom. But after she gave you all the details, did you start seeing her in a different light?
I did, actually. I saw just how truly gifted my mom is, and she hides it. So you don't really get to see how empathic she is and how sensitive she is. And you would think that, you know, me growing up, I never saw any of her gifts actually out on the surface. And then to hear about things that happened, like at my great grandmother's house, and her feeling things and seeing things and communicating with things, it was really cool to get to hear those things and see my mom as the truly gifted person she is.
And this one, kind of the same along the same lines, Teresa, for you, when you first got the first shipment, the actual book, the physical book, not her manuscript, not here it is on the laptop, on the computer, here's the rough draft. When you finally saw it, what people are getting, What was your first reaction when you first saw the book and held it in your hands?
Proud. Extremely proud. It took her a long time to write it. She was constantly at the computer, constantly writing it. She was obsessed with it for a while. And I actually started to tear up because I know she had worked so hard on it. And to see it, it was like reality. And that was, you know, that was her first major book. I've seen her for many years. I mean, she's always been a writer. Ever since she was like 3 years old, she was writing things down. And I always knew that that's what she was going to do. But for her to actually put it in book form and publish it, this was the first one. And I've been telling her all these years, you know, what's the point in writing it if other people don't read it? And she finally did. She finally did it so other people can read it. And she's so compassionate about the paranormal and helping the spirits and the living that it's such an important subject. And she put so much into it that it was a very proud moment to see that. I mean, it was like to see her light up was extremely proud, because she was very happy about what she did and very proud to see it too. And, you know, as a mother, I'm always proud to see my daughter do well.
Yeah. As a parent, I can identify with that also.
Yeah.
Now I have the book here in front of me on the console. I'm looking at it as you're saying that, and you mention it now. So now I have to ask, what was the cover that you wanted? I mean, and what was that when you were holding it? Is that when you said, okay, you're right, it does look kind of good. But what was the idea that you had?
Well, the ghost that's on the cover, that we call her Evie. Yeah. Mm-hmm. she's like our little mascot, I guess. We have a little Evie with us. I have actually a doll that we use in investigations that is called Evie. And she helps gets the spirits to talk to us, you know, especially if there's children around. But it is, I didn't want her on it. To me, it just didn't seem, I don't know, it seemed more like something that would, you know, be an eye for a child, you know, that a child would see it and think, oh, this is a fun little ghost book, you know. And she kept saying, Mom, that this is Evie, this is us, this is what we started out with, and this is who we are. And I want it to be more fun. I don't want it to be like, I mean, if you'll look at most of the paranormal books, they're a very serious cover. There'll be the picture of the haunted building or something like that, and it'll be a little more spooky. And she said, I don't want people to look at it and be scared of it. I want people to actually be interested in reading it. And yeah, she's right. It looks good. I love, after seeing it printed, I love it. And Evie is part of us. That is who we are. I mean, she's got Evie on. We have Evie on our hats, on our shirts. You know, Evie is our little ghost that we take with us. So it is. It's important, and it looks good on the book. So she was right. I was wrong. I admit it. Thank you.
Well, I was smiling as you were telling that story, actually, because you're right. I was thinking in fact, the past couple week or 3 weeks, actually, we've had, I've had a couple of authors on. One of them, M.R. Gorga, when he came, he wrote a book about demons, and we were talking about how people who have the book, they actually turn it over because the cover is just so scary. So, yeah, when you were telling that story, I'm looking at the cover, and yeah, I can see why a kid would say, hey, it might be a fun book, but knowing the story, it makes perfect sense. Now, like I said, I'm not finished yet, and I was about to say I'm actually on page, but I can't because there's no page numbers in the book. And we talked about this before, actually, when you first sent me, and thank you for that, by the way, for sending me the one of the copies. I like the story behind. There's even a reason for that, why there's no numbers. So, Sabrina, go ahead and explain why this book has no page numbers on it.
Okay, well, as a medium and with all the other psychic gifts I have, I am constantly walking a line between the living and the dead. I mean, any given time, I could have contact with the dead person. And in their realm, the two realms, their realm is countless. It's timeless. There's nothing counted. They don't count days and hours and money and all that. But on the other side, in the realm of the living, we're counting everything. We count minutes, hours, money, you name it, we count it. And I wanted everybody to have a little bit of a glimpse of what I deal with on that side and see what it's like on the spirit realm to just not count, just to flow through the book and flow through life like they do. Well, the afterlife like they do.
Yeah. I mean, we talked about this when you first sent me the book. You know, we were on the phone for a while, and I said at first it was a little bit of an annoying to me because I would put the book down and I would come because I'm used to, you know, reading books, and I put them down and I come back getting the bookmark or whatever, and in my head I'm thinking, oh, I was on page 46. So then I turned it and like, wait, what page was I on? So I had to go by like whatever the paragraph was or the picture was, and then when you explain it to me like you did right now, it makes perfect sense. Because, yeah, I think you're the first one that does that. I mean, everybody listening right now, I know there's authors listening, and you're all jealous. And I was like, hey, why didn't I think of that? Yeah, why didn't you think of that? Because it's true. It's a perfect explanation as to, you know, there is no time on the other side. For us, yeah, we live, you know, the saying, we live and die by the clock, definitely on radio and these things. But all of us, we're on a schedule. I mean, maybe not in 2020 because, you know, not... time stopped for the first time in a long time, but usually we are slaves to that clock. So yeah, it makes perfect sense why there isn't anything. So you can experience a little bit of what they are, what's the word you use? Life impaired is the word
living impaired.
The living impaired. Yeah. So you can experience a little bit of what they experience. No time. Although sometimes I wish the living would experience it. It'd be nice to not have to worry about time every now and then.
Yes, it would.
Teresa, let me go back to you again. Let me have you talk about Sabrina, not the book, but when did you know as her mom? When were you aware that she's gifted, exceptionally gifted? When were you aware of that?
I think, you know, growing up, she always had her imaginary friend, and I thought it was just an imaginary friend, so I had no clue. And just being a mom, you know, you just you accept that, you know, kids have imaginary friends. And I encouraged it, you know, she needed that friend, but I had no clue that it was a spirit. Yeah, and then going through life, you know, with everyday life, you're raising a kid, you're working, you're doing normal things, and you don't really talk about that stuff. And I think when the first time I ever really got a glimpse of anything she had done was when we actually, I took her on a ghost walk, because I wanted, it was actually a little history walk, but we went into some buildings and she just kind of like was acting a little strange. And I thought at first she was just scared, but because she didn't really want much to do with the spirit world at that time. And then we would just walk around and look, and she would be looking places she wasn't supposed to be looking at necessarily. And it's just like, she just kind of felt uncomfortable, but at ease too. I mean, if that makes any sense. And then I put a K2 meter in her hand, and she just decided that she just took right through it. She just like instantly started talking to spirits and just started noticing things. And it's just like, I just flipped a switch or something. And then just talking about it, it's like, how did you start doing this so easy? And then she started just telling me, oh, yeah, it's okay. I see things all the time. But I didn't know that. And then when we started talking about it, it's just, as we're going through this, our journey together, I'm learning more and more of the about her gifts. It's at beginning, it was just like, you know, I didn't really think much about it. But as we continue to investigate, we continue to go places, and I'm seeing her talking to spirits and walking and following them. And I'm thinking, where are you going? You know, I'm not seeing anybody. And she's like, I'm going here. Yeah, I'm being told to go here. I'm being told to go here. And it's just like, so every time we investigate, something else comes up that I didn't really know about. And it's kind of fascinating to watch her develop. Because as she's getting older, the more she does, the more she's developing. It's like the more she's opening up to it. And it's fascinating. But scary too, because I actually had to stop her from walking off of a cliff because she gets so entranced in the spirit that's talking to her that she's not really paying attention where she's walking. So that I realize now I have to stay very close to her. Because she may just do that. So it's a learning experience, I think, for both of us. But it's I don't think there was one specific time I really knew that this was what was going on, because, you know, it's just normal everyday life you go through and you just think, yeah, she's a normal kid, right? Yeah, I just have a normal kid. Talks to imaginary people, but it's no big deal, you know, don't we all?
Thanks, Mom.
Well, yeah, most kids have some sort of an imaginary friend at one point in their life, you know, or they'll just be talking to something. You don't think anything of it when you're a parent and you're busy doing a million other things. So it's hard to, I think, as parents to see that when we're so busy. And it's really sad, because I wish I would have known more when she was really small, because then maybe I could have helped her along the way to develop them sooner. And she wouldn't have went through that transition of being scared for a while. But yeah, I think parents need to take more time with their kids. They need to pay a little more attention. And I'm guilty of that. I didn't. And I should have. I should have known that her imaginary friend was a spirit. But, yeah, I didn't. I'm glad it turned out to be a family member. So, it is hard. I can't pinpoint the exact time, honestly, that I actually just knew that she knew something. It's just your kids, you know, you look at them in a different way. You look at them as kids. Yeah, they talk to things. They do odd little things. They draw pictures, and you know, you don't necessarily know that or connect that with anything spiritual. And we need to. We as parents need to do that. We need to pay more attention, because our kids could be going through a lot that we have no clue about, and they need help. And I know one of the things that I'm drawn to is children that are having a hard time dealing with the spirit world, or children's spirits that are having a hard time with the living. You know, they're both. They're still kids, and they need help, and we don't give it to them. And I'm guilty. I'm one of the ones that was guilty of it. I admit it.
Yeah. Well, I don't think you're the only one, because I was actually going to talk to you guys about this privately, but you know, I was thinking about it the last night as I was getting ready for our interview today, and I was thinking, you know what, let me just bring it up, and I kind of have in past episodes, especially when we talked about it, when Patty Negri was on the last time, we brought that up a little bit, about how not the gifted kids, but the parents, how nobody really talks or thinks about how do the parents react. I mean, it's one thing for, you know, when the child realizes, I see grandma, or I see, you know, someone who you don't know who it is, and it's a relative, or even just a stranger from beyond. But how do the parents react? You know, most of them like would react like you do, like you did, Teresa, where it's just an imaginary friend. But what I'm not telling you what to do, but I was just gonna say, would that be for you two, especially, be perfect? A follow-up book to this one, where it's sort of like a guidebook for parents of gifted children, and how to react to it, how to guide them. Would that be something that you both would be interested in doing?
It's funny you mentioned that, because I actually do have a children's book that was wrote to help kids that are psychic and their parents. And I'm in the process of trying to find illustrators and get it out. But it's about two children that are psychic and getting bullied, and they move into a new house and meet up with two ghost children. And it's a process, kind of comical process, of getting their parents to understand exactly what they've gone through.
Yeah. I think it's definitely needed. I mean, I'm not gifted, so kind of the reason why, but people that are gifted, I never, especially those that are now older, they have their own kids now, and they're gifted also. I don't know why that topic is never brought up, about how to guide gifted kids when you're the parent of a gifted kid. So yeah, I think you're onto something there. So is this book, is it out yet or not yet?
It's not out yet. I'm looking for a publisher and an illustrator.
Okay. So I won't tell you like where can they get it, because it's not out yet. They can't get it yet.
Actually, it is adorable. I've actually seen, she has actually wrote the first part of it. It's going to be a series. And it really is something that's needed, because, you know, we don't talk to our kids enough. And our kids are, gifted children are scared to say that they see something or they hear something, and because nobody's going to believe them. We as adults are afraid to do that, because I have, for a long time, I would never have told anybody that I saw a spirit unless I knew for sure they believed in it, because they're going to look at me like I'm crazy.
Yeah.
Still to this day, as long as I've been doing this, the first time I ever talked to anybody about the spirit world, I was like 10 years old, and it was to my grandmother, and she was very open to it. I asked her, how did you do this? You know, how you talk to spirits? And she told me, you know, my grandmother was the first one that actually got me involved in speaking to spirits and how to talk to them. But, you know, I had a very open family about it, but most kids don't. And you know, you hear noises in the other room, or you see something walk by and you don't know what it is. Who do you talk to? And parents, when kids come to them, they'll say things like, I just thought she had an imaginary friend that she blamed things on, because she did do that. She would say Roddy did it. So it was like, yeah, she'd get in trouble. She'd always blame it on her imaginary friend. But so naturally, I just assumed that's what it was, an imaginary friend. And if I would have took the time then to actually talk to her, I would have known. And I could have helped her through it. Because not only was she dealing with that, she was dealing with a spirit that was darker. I knew this spirit was there. I was scared of it myself at that time because I was learning my own self, you know, and I had no clue she knew about it. So she was scared of it, but she had a protector because her imaginary friend that really was a spirit protected her. And I'm just so grateful for that spirit because I had no clue. But we do need to open up more. I've noticed in the in most of the paranormal over the years is that, you know, investigators, a lot of them still will say children's spirits are demonic, you know, and that is not true. There are a lot of really, there are a lot of very, very confused, lost children's spirits that need help. And we ignore them because everybody has got this perception that is they're demonic and they're going to be bad spirits and they're going to harm you. No, they're not. You know, yeah, that is a possibility. But, you know, are you going to just push aside those children's spirits because you might come across a demon? No, I'm going to go to those children's spirits and I'm going to try to help them because it breaks my heart to think that there's a child roaming around on this earth lost, looking for their parents. And I have come across children's spirits that way, where they don't know where their mommy and daddy are. They're just lost. And we just push them aside. No, we can't do that. And, you know, and then there are those parents that have absolutely no idea how to talk to their children that have gifts that see these things. I've known an autistic child that could see spirits. And of course, being autistic, everybody pushed her aside. You know, you don't see anything. It's just the autism, right? No, it's not. This child is gifted. They see spirits and you're just pushing them aside because they may not be able to communicate with you well. Now, we got to open up. There is another part of this world we have to open up to. It's great. The paranormal world is starting to be mainstream and it is opening up a lot. Not as many people look at you like you're crazy, but we still have that, you know, child area we still need to deal with. And that's where I want her to write another book. And I think the children's series that she's writing is a good start.
I do too. So, yeah, you did tell me a little bit about it. I do too. And yeah, you're right. The paranormal has gone mainstream, and I got to say, I know a lot of people, especially in the paranormal community, they don't want to name names. I will. I'm not afraid of that. So there's a lot of shows out there. You know, the biggest one. A lot of them, including that one, they're guilty of making people think that everything is demonic, everything is a demon, especially when it comes to kids. And I will say this also. Yeah, you're right. No, they're not all demons. The other thing also is a lot of people assume incorrectly that when we pass over to the other side, we suddenly become all-knowing. That's not the case at all. Now, if you're an adult, okay, you take those experiences with you. But imagine if it's a baby who was only here for a few weeks, a few days, a few months, a year or two, and they pass away. They have no life experience in our world, let alone the new one. So yeah, like you're saying, why wouldn't they be confused? Because they literally have no idea what's happening. So if you ever run into kid spirits, like Teresa and Sabrina are saying, don't push them away. You know, try to communicate with them, try to help them is what we're saying. So yeah, I'm glad you're gonna come out with this book. It's about time. Somebody needed to do it. I'm glad it's gonna be you to do that. Now I'm gonna take a little break right now, and when we come back, we're gonna take a question from one of you guys, one of the listeners, and I'm also gonna wrap up by talking. Speaking of, we'll talk a little bit about the not just the TV shows, but there's another part of the paranormal that's coming out. I'll say how I feel about it. I not I'm not too sure how I feel about it, but I'll try to put it into words. And we'll do that with you also when we come back. And this right here, actually, I didn't even tell the two of you. Thanks again for being a sponsor on Paranormal Perception. But I didn't tell you about this. Here's a little surprise for you. And then we'll come back and wrap up the episode.
With 30 years of paranormal investigations and research under their belts, a lifetime of experiences, and the gifts that make it all worth it, Two Realm Paranormal truly live the paranormal. This mother-daughter investigative team has experienced it all, and they go anywhere needed in search of answers with a single goal in mind, helping both the living and the dead. Their new book was written for those who feel like they're going crazy in a paranormal nightmare, so they know they are not alone. Filled with their experiences, theories, and even a little fun, it's definitely a book every paranormal enthusiast needs in their collection. Two Realm Paranormal, Torn Between Realms is written by Sabrina Marie and is available for shipping now at barnesandnoble.com. Just search the number 2, Realm Paranormal. Now back to Paranormal Perception.
Wrapping up with Sabrina Marie and Teresa. And like I said, I didn't tell you I was going to do that, so there's a little surprise for you two as far as the book is concerned. You're welcome.
Oh, wow. Well,
thank you. That was awesome.
Tearing up, Henry.
So let me, before we start talking about, like I just mentioned the TV shows and everything, let me go back to the two of you. When you go on your investigations, what are your styles and how does each one of those complement the other?
Oh, wow. We pretty much have a lot of the same techniques and styles with what we do. It's all about connection. It's not the typical go in and say, talk into this device, or what's your name? Who are you? You know, the typical questions. It's, we introduce ourselves. We try to bond with them. We connect with them. One of the coolest stories of connection that I think we have is on the USS Edson up in Bay City, Michigan. We have a lot of military background in our family, so we couldn't get anything the entire night with these sailors. We started talking about our military family, and it must have been hard to leave their families, and they must have been lonely. And it's amazing how much they connected and tuned right into us, and we even got a half-face apparition photo from it. So it's all about connection with us, having a heart, just remembering that these are actually people. I mean, 99% of it is actually going to be people. Very seldom is it going to be some being or entity from another, you know, dimension or something. It's actually a living person at one time. We need to treat them that way.
Yeah. Yeah. One of my old co-hosts, that is, I never thought of this before. I mean, and I'm not, you know, like what you see on television where I command you to speak to me now or open this door. I don't do that. I always spoke to them as a person, but it wasn't until that co-host, until she said it, not on the air. Well, actually, she did say it on the air at one time, but when we were out doing investigations, she, before we started, she explained it to me exactly what you said. Remember, they're people. So you don't go into a restaurant or anywhere where people are and just start demanding things unless you're that kind of person, then you do. But in general, most people have, you know, courtesy, manners. So same way when you're talking to a spirit, you know, introduce yourself, say hello, what are you doing? Explain, especially if you're going to be using, Sabrina, what you like, the tech toys, because a lot of them, especially today, they make a lot of sound, they have lights, they're flashy. If they're from the 1800s or before that, they have no idea what that is. So explain to them, you know, as if you're speaking to a child, this is what it is. I can record you. You can use your energy like this, and they might even have fun doing that. So, yeah, I like that. And you're right also about the military, because I was smiling when you were telling that story, because I remember our late now, Doug Carnahan, our paranormal consultant. He passed away a year ago, but he's actually right here. A piece of Doug is always here with me. But he told me that story at the USS Hornet. It's one of the most haunted ships. It's back in the San Francisco Bay Area. He was on there. He made a connection with, I think it was either a captain or a lieutenant,
because Doug had been in the service, and when they started talking shop, if you will, talking about, you know, his military experiences, he got the whole thing. He got a full body apparition, clear as day. A lot of people saw it, and it was all because they connected, you know, military. So yeah, don't, if you go to places like Gettysburg, one of your favorites, or anywhere where, you know, there's military, if you yourself are military, or you have some military history in your family, bring that up. Yeah, like Sabrina said, that'll probably be the connection that you've been missing. You're looking for something, it'll be that, the military connection. So great to hear that. So like I said, that I got a question from I think you know who he is. His name is Gary. He doesn't say it on the message, but he said he's from the UK. So he has a question for the two of you. So I'll let me play Gary's question, and then you go ahead and answer it on the air.
Hi. I would just like to know, to Sabrina Marie, which was your scariest investigation you have been on, and which is your most rewarding investigation? Thank you very much. Looking forward to listening to your aunt, Gary.
So there you go. Did you get that, what he was saying?
I got it, yeah. The scariest one has definitely been by far the Lafayette Hotel in Marietta, Ohio. The investigation itself wasn't at all scary. It was actually fun, you know, dealing with a bunch of kids, and you know, the man that owned it is a prankster kind of ghost, and it was actually fun. But it was at the end of it, when we decided to break off from everybody else at 3 o'clock in the morning and sneak back to the basement, that we came face to face with a very evil shadow figure that literally chased me up the stairs. And my mother says she felt like if it had got its hand on her as it was coming at her, it would have dragged her to hell. That's how evil it felt down there.
Yeah.
The most rewarding would have to be a place I can't actually say the name of. It's a place I frequent a lot. But we brought somebody home with us from there and got to move him on. And that story is actually in the book. I got to be a doula, and with my mom's help, and it's the first time we had teamed up to do anything with moving someone on. He was a POW that had been tortured to death in a camp. And I got to move him on. And I think we spent about 2 hours after finally getting him to go and reunite with his wife, who I saw come get him, just crying, just so happy for him and just feeling that peace. And that is definitely the most rewarding part of anything I do is being a psychic death doula. Okay. But that's definitely the most rewarding.
Yeah, I can see why that would be. So there you go, Gary. There, hope that answers both of your questions there. And thanks again for the question. Now, like I said, I mentioned in the last segment, there's a ton now of paranormal reality shows on television. Some are the I don't even know what you call that genre, but it's like the paranormal caught on camera. It's just basically, you know, CCTV videos up there. But there's all kinds of paranormal stuff everywhere now. I know the answer because we've talked about this privately, but for them listening, let's have them hear you. How do you both see all the paranormal TV shows that are out there? Are they helping or not helping, or how do you see them?
I think they're beneficial. I think that a lot of them are entertainment, but I think they're very beneficial because it gets people to open their minds to it and see that this stuff is really happening. If anything, it can make a skeptic question somewhat and stop being mean to somebody else. But I think they're beneficial. I think they're fun to watch. What do you think?
I think they have a good point. I find most of them to be pretty much entertainment. I think it's kind of cool to see the locations. That's usually why I watch them, is to see the different locations. And, you know, get a little introduction to new equipment that maybe come out. I mean, that's Sabrina's thing. She really loves seeing the new equipment. But I think that they have a good point, but just like everything in life, it also has a bad point. I think a lot of people watch them and they kind of misunderstand some of the things that are happening. And then they try to take that and put it into real life. And then that causes them problems. So they're just like I said, they're good and bad. But if we could look at them simply as information to a certain point and entertainment, I think they're great. But I wish a lot of them would be a little more informative, you know, and it's not probably going to happen to most because, come on, face it, people want to see excitement and they want the thrill and they want the demons to come out and they want all this stuff. But, you know, that's exciting entertainment to them. Not if you go and have to deal with that. Coming face to face with a demon is not exciting, but it can be very scary. But yeah, they serve a point, I guess, in life. They have a good point and a bad point. And I just wish the public could watch them for what they really are. They do have entertainment, but they do have information you can learn from. Just actually learn from it. Take that information and look for more information. You know, Google it if you have to. You'd be surprised how much more information you could get. You know, if you come across something that you question, is that real? You know, find out. So
there's a new, I guess you would call it a genre, although they're not really on television. They're on your phone or on, you know, however you watch YouTube videos or online videos, whatever device you use, they're on there. And this is, they all skew younger. Some are on the older side, but mainly most of them are on the younger side. I call this, and this is my word. This is not like an official term or anything, but this is my word. I call it sensationalizations, meaning they just sensationalize investigations and there is no history. There is no explaining as what I'm doing. This is a REM pod. This is a K2 meter. This is they just go in there. This is the most haunted place in America. Oh my God. How did you see it? To me, I don't take them seriously at all because they're not doing anything. The way I see it is, and we come from that time when I think Teresa, you mentioned it earlier in a segment where we and even a little bit today, even though it's more accepted, we're still a little hesitant, especially in a social setting. And by social, I mean with actual people, not on social media, but we're out in the social setting. We're still a little hesitant to say, you know, I grew up in a haunted house. I saw this when I was younger because you don't know how people are going to react most of the time today. Like I said, they're more accepting, and that's actually an icebreaker. It's like, really? I saw this too, and there you go. You made a connection. But these shows, they don't, I mean, well, I don't even know if we can call them shows. Like I said, they're just on YouTube and you know, on TikTok and all those things. To me, they add absolutely nothing to the paranormal community, the serious paranormal community. That's me, though. How do you two see those things?
I have to agree with you, but it is all the sensation. It is the, who, you know, we want to see the scary stuff. We want to, it's like, I kind of contribute it to, it's like going into a haunted house at Halloween, not a real haunted house, but one of the made up haunted houses.
Yeah.
That's the excitement people want. That's the thrill they want to feel when they watch things. And, you know, that's not always what it is. You know, you're not going to have that. It being an investigator can be very boring. You're hours and hours and hours waiting for something, trying to get someone to communicate with you. But it's not, I mean, I get it. You know, people want to watch the excitement. I understand that. It is entertainment, but it doesn't validate anything that we're doing. It's not research. It's not history. It's not educating anybody to anything that is real. It's just entertainment.
If anything, it actually makes it look like a joke.
It does.
Yeah.
Because like I said earlier, these were living people. You wouldn't want somebody coming in your house and acting the way that these people do on these videos. And they're living people. They deserve respect. It's not, paranormal research is not entertainment. It's not fun. Like she said, it can be very boring. Hour upon hour in the dark with nothing is pretty boring. But it bothers me when I see those kind of videos, because it makes everything that I've worked so hard for, and the rest of the researchers have worked so hard for, just look like a joke. It takes all the credibility away from what we've really done and what we've really found out and accomplished.
Yeah, I'm thinking of the saying, what is it? You know, 2 steps forward, 7 steps back. That's kind of like what you're saying. Like I said, I'm there with you. That's exactly how I see those also. And yeah, I'll say it like that, a joke. That you're right. That's the correct word. To me, it's just, I don't take it seriously, but it's exactly why. Because I know, no matter what they say, I know for a fact these, I mean, they might be in their 20s, but from my point of view, they're kids. These kids, they're not professional paranormal investigators. Because if they were, they wouldn't be doing this. You're correct, Sabrina. So we'll leave it at that. Now, for both of you, for your investigations that you do, you do have a YouTube channel, you do put them on there. You don't have bells ringing or anything, or you don't go screaming anywhere. So you want to see your real investigation, all of you, I have it linked up on the show description. Click on their names, it'll take you to the YouTube channel. You'll see what a real investigation looks like. But both of you, with your gifts especially, have you noticed an uptick in activity, especially because of the stress and the anger, the fear that's going on, not just in the world, but specifically in our country?
I have. I've noticed that I'm getting a lot more connection psychically. Even in my own home, it's like, it's always a super highway here, but it seems like it's more of a super highway lately than it has been. Thankfully, they leave before I have to do something about it, but yeah, I've noticed it. I've noticed there is.
I think what it is there's so much based in our country right now that is based on emotion, and that emotion is put out there as energy, and it's just amping up everything. It's making more energy, and it's making even the spirits uncomfortable. So it's like we don't kind of go through life anymore actually thinking and doing things for the right reasons. We tend to get angry, and we tend to want to lash out instead of actually reason. And I don't know. I think it's just an emotional world that we live in right now. It is the stress and the uncertainty of everything. You know, we're all kind of teeter-tottering on what is life going to be like tomorrow? Yeah. You know, it's, and I think it affects the paranormal too. Yeah. That it, because it's the energy.
Well, we put the energy out and they feel it too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Have anyone, even not even last year or this year, but before, and I've never asked you this actually, now that I think about it, has any spirit that you spoke to, has anybody even hinted at or straight out told you that something like this was coming, whether it be COVID and all the anxiety, everything that we're going through? Did anybody say, hey, look out for this coming up?
No, but I was getting kind of anxious, but I never got any kind of message or anything about any of it.
No. It's just a very, and you can walk. I remember, because I'm an empath, so when I walk into some place, I can feel the energy. And the past year, I tend to want to run. I walk in a place, I want to turn around and walk right back out, because the energy is so oppressive. So I'm wondering if it's just the people that are in there, or if it's all energy in general. You know, it could be the spirits and everything. So
it didn't feel like that before.
It didn't. It did. It wasn't as bad before.
I don't think either one of us got any kind of inkling that this was going to happen, except feeling a little anxious.
No.
Yeah. So, I mean, I would say probably the lockdown was a good thing for you, because you didn't have to feel everybody's negative energy.
It actually, to be honest about it, it really was. It was nice to not have to be around a lot of energy, because it does get very overwhelming.
You were still around mine, and I panicked at the beginning.
Yeah, she did. Her energy was very overwhelming, but it was nice to not go in places and feel it.
Yeah,
and actually be able to think and do your own thing and feel your own energy. So, but it was nice.
Yeah,
I have to admit,
which makes sense actually. But last year, because none of us really knew what was going on. More than a year out. We can't really say that, but again, that's a topic, and I've covered it in other episodes. But let's wrap this one up with having you give out the web, especially for the book. Where can they get it? And it's all the links are in the show description. But give them the website, social media, everywhere where they can follow you.
Hey, everything is linked up on our website. It's tworoundparanormalresearch.com. We've got the book, the social media, everything.
Yeah, I have to say, those of you that have gotten it, and when you do get it, those of you that are going to buy it after this interview, open up to the dedication page. I've got to say a public thank you to both of you. You're going to see a familiar name in the dedication. And also, again, I can't say what page because it doesn't have page numbers, but the show, Paranormal Perception, we're mentioned in there. So quite an honor. See, now we're a cool show. We're actually in a published book. So there. But seriously, I mean, thank you, Sabrina, and both of you for your friendship and for the book and for including me in this. Good, quite an honor. So there you go. For everybody, again, if you want to get it, and I know you do after hearing the stories, there's a lot more in the book. Trust me. Go ahead and get it. Just click on their name. It'll take you right to the Barnes & Noble site. You can just actually, I'll do it for you. I'll create one where it takes you right to the Two Realm book. So there you go. You're welcome. And both of you, thanks a lot for coming on. You know, you're always welcome here. And I have a feeling it's not the last time we hear you, especially there's a month coming up that I think the three of us really enjoy more than any other one. It's not December, not November. Starts with a no. So,
no.
We'll definitely talk to you then. Thanks a lot. Take care. And I'll speak to you soon. And that.
Thank you, Henry.
Was Paranormal Perception. The facts and opinions heard on this episode are those of the guest and host of Paranormal Perception. If they make you uncomfortable or cause you to question your outlook on life, good, you're waking up. Continue that journey on the show's official website, paranormalperception.show. Contact Henry with questions, comments, or if you'd like to be a guest on a future episode, henry@paranormalperception.show. Paranormal Perception with Henry San Miguel.